o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Thank you.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. We also welcome those who are tuning in on the radio on KSBK this morning. Thanks for joining us for our service as well. We'll be worshiping today to the order of divine service setting one, and enjoying also a bit of a special sort of Sunday, as on Wednesday was our church's celebration of the conversion of St. Paul, and we're observing that celebration today, hence my white stole that doesn't match our seasonal color of green in observance of that feast of the conversion of St. Paul. So we'll hear in our readings this morning about that experience that the Apostle Paul had on the road to Damascus. And we're glad to be celebrating that and joining together with you all. We do invite you to turn to hymn 685 this morning as we sing our opening hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. And we do invite the congregation gathered to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning as we begin. Thanks for joining us. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We observe a moment of silence for reflection on God's word and self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit from Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 2. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for building up the body of Christ. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but members of the household of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you turned the heart of him who persecuted the church and by his preaching caused the light of the gospel to shine throughout the world. Grant us ever to rejoice in the saving light of your gospel, and following the example of the Apostle Paul, to spread it to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for our celebration of the conversion of the Apostle Paul comes from, appropriately, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. As we read through this reading, please recognize that when Saul was young, he was also given the name Paul. And that was probably for the sake of trade and various things like that. So when you hear Saul or Paul, we're referring to the same person. We begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our readings this morning with Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today comes from Galatians chapter 1. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching. We're going to pause just for a second to get a sound check here because something went crazy back there. Do you got anything on those? If not, we'll just preach from the heart this morning. Hopefully we can make it work because something's not right with the sound. But let's not let that get in the way of the Word of God, right? We've got an amazing text this morning from our gospel reading about the Virgin Mary. And to get started discussing that, I wonder if you've ever tuned an instrument in your life. Ever had that experience? Let's just say I know guitars, so we'll go with guitars. In order to tune it, you have to take the keys for each string, and you have to turn them so that the tension on the string is just right in order that each of those strings plays a perfect note. And what God does with us in our lives is kind of like that. So that when he's ready to strum us, we resonate for him a beautiful song of faith. In our text, Mary's response to the angel Gabriel and the announcement of the news of the true Immaculate Conception, which is in fact, of course, the conception of our Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit, not the Immaculate Conception of Mary. The angel tells her, verse 31 through 33, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But first, now Mary's got some questions. But the angel graciously answers them. And once she understands, her response is beautiful and a perfect almost resonance of faith. Mary's God's creation. She's an instrument of the Almighty. So are we. When God picks her up and strums her through the pick of his word, he finds her to be in tune based on her response to the angel. And the sounds of Mary's words are music to God's ears and to all those of faith. Because she says this in verse 38, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." That's a perfect chord of faith spoken out. Every string rings out a note that's perfectly in tune and in harmony with the other strings. She is, as the Lord spoke through Gabriel in verse 28, favored one. The Lord is with you. And her response shows it. And we gotta look at this and not misunderstand, as many have down through history. She's not a perfect person. She goes on after the events of Jesus and his birth, and the text lets us know she has a family, she lives a life, she's a regular gal in some senses. Her birth wasn't any different than any other woman's birth in that regard. And we part, as Lutheran Christians, with Rome on this issue greatly. But she is favored. Don't doubt that. Favored in that the Lord has chosen her. His tuning of her heart is what makes her favored. She's not favored because she's sinless or something, but because of what God's word does to her. It's like Abraham in the days of old. He lived in an unclean pagan land called Ur of the Chaldeans. He sins. He sins in the Bible, Abraham does. There isn't anything perfect about Abraham, but God chose him. And all of Israel, for that matter, is spoken of as chosen by God, favored. It'll help us to understand how Mary's chosen if we listen to how Israel was. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6, 7, and 8. He says, "For you are a people," speaking to the people of Israel, "holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. It was not because you were more in number than other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it's because the Lord loves you." To be favored by God has to do with God's love for Mary and us. You are favored of God. I am favored of God. Jesus died for us. God blessed us with the gift of faith. He baptized us and made us his own dear children. Chose us, as it says in Ephesians, before the foundations of the world. Why would he do all that? Simply He loves us. You gotta think about that for a second. He loves you. You. It's not our credentials. It's not our resume. I mean, if you want to start measuring that, we can, but it's not going to measure up. Rather, it's His love that qualifies us. Remember the old saying, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called? That's how it works. But this morning, it's Mary's perfect chord of faith, played by the angel, that we still hear resonating in our lives today. It's God's work within Mary that granted her those words. But they're important. And because of God's choosing, she is, as Elizabeth says about her in verse 42, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And we can see, it's not Mary's resume that gives her status, but God's work. Because Elizabeth also says in verse 45, and blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed means she received something from God. If she's blessed, it's nothing that she did, it's nothing of herself, it's what God did. Blessed means she received a blessing. And she did, right? She grew up hearing God's word. Every Sabbath, at least. Probably every day in her home. Those strings had been tuned by God's word in Mary long before that moment of Gabriel's visitation. But it was the work of a loving God. But listen to the response again. It's awesome. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. These are the same chords that God's strumming in us, friends. But some of our strings, they're out of tune. Some of mine too. We get out of tune in this world filled with sin and death. And we don't say when the trials in life come, the troubling times. Our response is often different than Mary's. We don't find ourselves in some of the struggles of life saying, let it be to me according to your word. We say, God, why is this happening to me? Did you do this? I thought you were a loving God. We're out of tune. And our hearts spring up doubts. In troubles, our strings make flat and sharp sounds. Like, is there a God at all even? If so, why does he allow what he allows? And we sharply question, but we're out of tune. So for just a few minutes this morning, God wants to grab his tuner, his word, and he wants to, well, tune us so that when he has a task for us, the sounds we make are beautiful like Mary's. He's going to do this for us this morning using Mary's response in order to show us what that chord of faith sounds like. He loves to pick us up and play songs. And the chord of faith, it's his favorite. He wrote it. And he created it. And once we're in tune, then it's the symphony of the church and it's perfect harmony to his ears, for he's listening for something different than we are from us and different than we think. So how does he tune our keys? He's going to do it with his love that he showed us at the cross of Jesus. When we see what he did for us, when we realize that his forgiveness is truly for us, And we don't need to fear his adjustments to us. And then we'll be ready for him to get us sounding right. And all be his doing. Verse 38 again, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Mary's response has two simple parts. Just two. First, he shows us who we are. She said, "I am the servant or slave of the Lord." Did you catch that way she referred to herself in that verse? She said, "I am. I am the servant of the Lord." We use that too in our lives to describe ourselves. We'll say, "I am a mother. I am a father. I am a brother," or "I am a sister. I am a child. I am a teacher. I'm a doctor. I'm a farmer." You get the point, right? But see, Mary defined her "I am" in respect to God, not apart from him. "I am a servant of the Lord." And he's tightening our strings right now, tuning us a little bit. Me too. He's going to play a song with us. Everything we do isn't disconnected from God. Somewhere in our culture, in our world, in our ideas, we think it is, somehow. It's not that close, you know. Each vocation that he's given us, father, mother, son, daughter, stay at home, mom or dad, job, career, all that we are. When Jesus died on the cross and he ascended into the heavens after his resurrection, and in Ephesians it tells us that he ascended on high to give gifts to us, and that all things would be placed under his feet. And in the moment that Jesus sends us his Spirit, in the moment of Pentecost and God's word going out, this is one of the most amazing things that Jesus did in his ascension. As all things became new. And so instead of what we do defining us apart from God, now we can do everything that we do, and it's like Mary. "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord." Do you do what you do for God? Do I? We should. In all those vocations that we mentioned, Jesus has made all things new. And now all things are in service to him. As we serve other people and we do our jobs and we do everything we do, now because of Christ, we can say along with Mary, "I am a servant of the Lord." And all these things. Colossians chapter 3 will tell us the same thing. "Whatever you do," Paul writes there, "work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." Everything that we're doing in our lives is just like Mary saying to the angel in her response, "I am a servant of the Lord," and all these things. So he's got one string tuned, and he goes on to the next. Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." This means we understand who we are, not from what we perceive in the world, not from what makes sense to our rationalistic, scientific mindset of today, but we understand who we are by what the Bible says about us. Friends, the Bible says that apart from God, that we're only sinners, that naturally we'll run from God and hide from God and have no use for church, for the word, or for the sacraments. That without Jesus and without his cross and resurrection and without the Spirit and the word, we wouldn't love him and we wouldn't believe in him or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel. And the Bible tells us about ourselves at the same time as it says that, it also says that we're saints in Christ Jesus, that God gives us faith, that He gives us our belief that Jesus died for us, and that that's God's work within us, and that's what makes us righteous before Him. We call righteousness doing all the right things, but God calls righteousness our trust in what Jesus did at the cross and resurrection. We look for a righteousness by works. Even if we know it's by grace, we still look at our deeds and try to make judgments about ourselves and whether or not we're good enough or not good enough, or them, and whether or not they're good enough, or whether or not I'm better than that person or this person. And He desires that we cease all of this. All of it. If you want to see your sin, you can use the Bible to look at yourself. But if you want to see your righteousness, learn to stop looking at yourself and look at the cross. Learn that true song of faith that Mary's singing there in our text. Because the devil will come and condemn you, even in your thoughts, right? He'll accuse you. That's what Jesus says, or who Jesus says He is, the accuser. Our response to Him, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. And this is the thing. This is the righteousness that Satan, the world, nothing can thwart. They can't change it. And from that reality of righteousness, salvation, justification by faith and grace alone, from that reality is where our good works and loving service actually come from. Not from us trying to get something for it, but out of thanksgiving. So that any so-called good that comes before that is an attempt at evil and self-righteousness. The good that we do has been blessed to us. We've received a blessing from God to do good works out of thanksgiving to Jesus for what He did. Another string, ringing out the right note. And now He's got us in tune for the music He wants to play with us. As Isaiah says, all flesh is grass. Like the flower of the field, it's here for today, only a moment, and then it fades away. But God's word will never pass away. Our righteous deeds, they're nothing. Isaiah calls them filthy rags before Him. In the words of the apostle, it's God that justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Brothers and sisters, that's who we are. Our standing before God was accomplished not by our attempts to be better, but by Jesus on His cross and in His resurrection. Seeing this, we're in tune. By God's hands, like Mary. Then when He calls on us, all by His own doing, we'll be ready to be strummed and played by Him, that song of faith in our life. Do we slip tune? Yes, we do. Do we depend on ourselves when we shouldn't? Yes, we do. But thank God for His word. For church, that He uses to tune us again. Me too. And the result of all this will be us saying, no matter what is required of us, no matter what comes to us in this life, we'll resonate out just like Mary did. No matter what trials and tribulations we might have to deal with, we'll still resonate this song, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able this morning as we confess our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker
of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten of my name, being of us as is with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also with us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge all the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord of your life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge the baptism of the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and life of the world to come. Amen.
We invite you to continue standing for our prayer of the church this morning. Our response for our prayers today is, hear our prayer. Well, let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord our God, nothing is impossible with you. Grant us faith, bless us through your word, to believe it and follow the example of your servant Mary, to receive the miraculous gift of your Son, our Emmanuel. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, your word has been sent forth into the world to the joy and edification of your holy people. Encourage, comfort, strengthen all who hear it. Grant faith to those who do not know you, both here and abroad, that all peoples may sing your name and extol your goodness and resonate out, Lord, that precious song of faith by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray you fill all who hear your word with joy and peace in believing. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, Lord, we pray this morning that you would bless Matthew, our Synod President, that you'd bless James, our District President, that you'd bless Dan, our Circuit Visitor, and Lord, all pastors, church workers, DCEs, parish nurses, teachers, all congregation members of your church on earth. Lord, bless your church, we pray, that like the angel Gabriel, they may be faithful messengers of your good news. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, let your favor rest upon all women with child, all mothers, that they may rejoice in the blessing that you've given them and their children. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of lords, by the reign of your Son, you govern all things in heaven and on earth. Raise up true Davids among us to govern our land in faithfulness and humble strength. Lord, those who seek your word to do your will, Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, uphold all who suffer in mind or body. Give them, Lord, what you know that they need. This morning we name before you from the altar Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Reverend Mike Lastly, Jim and Linda Holman, the Sanchez family, the Connor family, and the Parch families, Alice Otapolik, Kevin Rice, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, remind all those that we've brought to you this morning of their Emmanuel, that you're with them in their trials, and that you offer strength, hope, health, and healing in accord with your perfect will. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, give us joy that as surely as your Son was conceived in the Blessed Mary, at your word, so he comes to abide in us also at your word in the Blessed Sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, that we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge. Through the same, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as our offerings are collected and presented, We enjoy some music by our TLC singers. They'll be singing the song, Mary, Did You Know?
Baby boy, would one day walk our father's
you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and wish the Lord's blessings upon you today from His Word and His Spirit in the knowledge that His only begotten Son was given for you and for your forgiveness. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn to page 9 in your bulletin, where we'll begin our service of the sacrament with a preface, and also if the congregation would please stand if you're able for this service. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
It's a KSPK Country Christmas.